knives, weird. Recognize that from the beginning.
But everybody's got them, Dev.
I know.
I mean, everybody's got knives at home.
I know. That's the thing. You know, to somebody who had never heard of it before, it was foreign to me. It was very weird, but yeah. I was like, I have nothing to lose.
Today, our guest is a guy named Devin Gillum. So I met Devin through a referral from a girl inside the building. She said, you need to meet with this guy. It's like, okay, great. So here's the difference in what I do and what a lot of people do. If someone is trying to sell me something, 99.9% of the time, I'm going to buy it, whether it be the 10th grade kid trying to sell candy bars for his high school lacrosse team or a young professional trying to sell extremely high-end knives. So that's what Devin does. But this guy's only 27 years old, and he's got a wonderful track record so far of what he's doing. And you're going to love today's conversation with Devin. Devin, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on, Thomas.
Okay, so what we're going to do today is I want to hear a little bit of your story. But as 27, so I love sales, the whole process of it. At 27, you've done a lot of things, even at this young age. So go back. Let's go back to the snapshot of the beginning. Like, I grew up here. I went to do this. Give me the snapshot of who you are as you grew up.
Absolutely. So grew up in Montgomery, Alabama. Awesome, incredible parents.
Right.
Dad, a coach and a teacher. Same high school from when I was not born yet to still now. He's doing the same thing.
Right. Wow.
So baseball, football. Okay. So grew up around that all my life. Mom, in real estate. But yeah, love where I grew up and my parents that I grew up with. My family's really important. But
so would you say that you grew up like middle class, or like were you guys rich, or what would you say?
I'd say lower middle class.
Lower middle class.
Comfortable, but
sure.
But not really.
Anybody that's parents or coaches and teachers,
yeah.
they're not just absolutely killing it. All right, so in high school, if someone were to ask you the question of, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would you say?
I had no clue
for a long time. My man.
I had no clue. Which I kind of feel like is a crime that we like ask so much. And people have good intentions of this. They want to know. They want to be interested. But me at 18 and me at 27... It's just not even the same human,
sure.
Almost. So, like, I think back to that, and it's just almost a crime to me. So, I knew I liked a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I didn't know where to necessarily channel that, mm-hmm. but...
So what did you do when you graduated from high school?
So when I graduated high school, I went to Troy and
go Trojans.
That's right, go Trojans.
That's it. Okay.
And I studied athletic training.
Okay.
I broke my back as a 13-year-old.
Wow.
So there was a lot of therapy. I loved sports. It seemed like it was great. It was great for what I knew. I had no clue that I enjoyed sales.
Sure.
Like, sales was not just anywhere in my mom didn't start real estate until 2020, so like well after I was
gotcha.
Out of college or ending college. So like I had no exposure to sales at all.
Okay, so you wanted to be an athletic trainer, work mm-hmm. lots of hours, make very little money.
Exactly.
So you get through college, and tell me about how this journey of knives and Cutco started.
May 2020 is when I'm graduating, right?
What a wonderful time to be in sales.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm in my last semester at Troy, COVID
okay.
hits,
yep.
and all classes go online.
Sure.
I'm in an internship, so I don't even have any classes. So
what
I'm
kind of
literally
internship?
In physical therapy. So I'm in a clinic that I'm a non-essential worker, so I get sent home.
Okay.
And so I am bored sitting at home. I got to do something. I've got to monetize this in some way. I've always been someone who just doesn't idle, doesn't
yeah.
sit still, like likes to be busy. And so I was like, might as well try to make some money. And so I'm seeing these ads, you know, different things. And I saw an ad on Snapchat.
Yes. Let's go. Pay
Snapchat.
Ads.
And was like, work from home, make your own schedule.
Sure.
And I was like, we'll give it a shot. Knives, weird. Recognize that from the beginning.
But everybody's got them, Dev.
I know.
I mean, everybody's
I know.
Got knives at home.
I know. That's the thing. But, you know, to somebody who had never heard of it before, it was foreign to me. It was very weird. But
yeah.
I was like, I have nothing to lose.
Okay, so you're fixed to graduate. But then I'm going to step forward, then I'm going to step back because I do know this part of the story.
Okay.
You decide upon graduating to go...
Yes, to physical therapy.
To PT school.
Yep. So there's a little break in between. I was a missionary in Sweden.
Yeah. Okay. Did not know that.
I don't know if you knew that. Yeah.
Okay.
So I took a break. So I sold for just a little bit. Took a break to go to Sweden. I'd already known that I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I felt very called. Just every point that I was turning, I felt the Holy Spirit leading me there.
Sure.
And it was incredible.
How long did you go?
I was there for about 4 months.
Oh, wow. So yep. Not a short term, but like not
it's like
really.
A midterm.
Yeah, midterm. Yeah. Okay, yeah. What'd you do over there? I don't know this part.
Yeah, so I played baseball.
Yes.
Yep, I played baseball.
Okay, so here's the two ways you can get in. If you want to go share the gospel, there's two ways, okay? Mm-hmm. Two of the best ways. Three ways. Number one, medical.
Sure.
You can always go help people and then share Jesus. Number two is English.
Mm-hmm.
If you can teach English, anybody will take you.
Yep.
I mean, I'm talking Asian countries, African countries, European, they'll take you.
Sure.
Number three, sports.
Yep.
I don't care what color you are, what country you're from, anything.
Yep.
People love to see other people compete. So
for
you
sure.
did it through baseball.
Yes.
That's
so
awesome. Okay.
Sports, just a very natural way to build relationships.
Hey, no doubt.
You suffer together, you practice together.
Yep.
And so it's not just a random missionary that's coming to your country. It's someone that's joining
your
baseball team and that's your friend. So that's the approach.
Who did you go do that through? Athletes in Action?
No, similar. It's an organization called International Exchange Organization. Just a contact that I've had in Montgomery. But
okay, so you come back from there, then what'd you do?
So that was a whole gap year. The whole plan was to go to physical therapy school, and that's what happened. But there was a gap year because UAB didn't start until January. So I get back in like September.
Okay.
And so I'm like, hey, I didn't want to pay for, I mean, physical therapy school is very expensive. And I was like, I don't want to take out loans for this.
Sure.
And so it was like, okay, like I'm going to work my butt off to try to pay for this.
Doing what?
Cutco.
Selling knives.
Yeah, selling knives.
Okay.
And it just got to the point where, like, it was all paid for, very soon into it. And I was like, this is growing. Like, how can I continue to grow with my business? Like, how can I continue, just not, like, in sales and numbers, but, like, how can me, Devin, grow with my business? And that's where I really got, like, kind of hooked into this.
Okay, so so go back. I don't understand this part of the story. So did you finish PT school?
Yes.
Ugh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So you start selling knives, you take a break and go to Sweden on this mission trip.
Yep.
You come back to PT school and
so
pick up the knives.
I start selling knives.
Yeah.
I don't start PT school for another September, October, November, December, 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
And so I'm like, hey, I'm going to sell as many knives as I can, like in this short little time frame. Start building my business more. I'd already like put in just very little back end work.
Sure.
Of just the frustrations of being very bad at the job.
Right.
But September is when I came back and I was like, I'm going to go all in. And so that's
people
what
say that
started.
All the time. What does that mean for you? I'm going to go, quote, all in.
Yep. Okay.
What does that mean?
Cool. So basically the burn the ships mentality to where like, I'm going to make this work or I'm just going to fail. Okay with failing, but I'm going to do everything I can to make this work. So what that meant for me was like finding something to commit to.
Okay.
So like actions, like I need to put in this many actions, like thinking about the markets that I wanted to be in, being very intentional with where I wanted to move my business to. And then something we've talked about a little bit with hiring a coach, someone who's been there, who's done that, that I can pay to lower my ignorance tax so that I don't
Love
have
that.
To go through the same mistakes that maybe some other people have to get to where I want to be.
When you get back in September,
mm-hmm.
and you say, 6 months, I'm going to hit this thing really hard.
Yep.
That was your life. In essence, that's your first 90 days, in my opinion.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Tell me about that first 90 days. When did you hire a coach, I guess is my first question. How long into it did you hire a coach?
I wouldn't have hired a coach probably until December, so several months in.
So you get, let's call it 5 months in. So what does that first 5 months look like for you?
Just continuing trial and error, like trying to figure things out, seeing what works, what doesn't. Making a lot of calls, most of them warm like warm leads, referrals. Not yeah.
Hey, Lynn, exactly. Get you in touch with Thomas.
Exactly.
I was going to buy knives anyway.
Sure.
No matter how good or how bad your pitch was, sure. I'm buying knives.
Well, I appreciate it. But yeah, most of them warm. So making a lot of phone calls is basically what that looked like. And then starting events for Cutco. So
what does that mean? What does that look like?
So that means like any like show thing where people are coming to, like we're probably having a Cutco booth out there with our product line out there for people to come, ask questions, request service if they want stuff sharpened, and then of course buy stuff.
Sure. Give me an example of three different types of events you would go to.
Okay. So like the first one that comes to mind is our biggest event that we work is called National Shrimp Festival. It's the biggest one in the state of Alabama. It's a lot of food, but also a lot of not food. So like doesn't necessarily have to be food related. I'd say most people are there not for the food, just for a good experience. But
people are there selling t-shirts and hats.
Yeah, for sure.
Necklaces.
For sure.
And you're at your booth there and you're doing that. All right, so give me another example.
The one I just worked, Tiny. So Mule Day is in Winfield, Alabama.
Yes, I've heard of Mule Day.
Okay, so Tiny Town, the town like 10x's in size for this one weekend.
That's good.
Again, same thing, just people selling random stuff, and I'm there with the Cutco booth. We'll go set up at malls like in the holidays just for like a holiday space.
That's good.
So like three very different, like really big, really small, and then more like kind of.
You go to Winfield to Mule Day in the name of Jesus. What does a winning weekend look like? Like you get back from Mule Day and you've been out there and it's either been hot or cold or rainy or whatever. What does a winning weekend look like? What comes of that?
It can look like different things, of course, but I mean, by the numbers, just hitting your averages, like that's always a win.
What does that mean, hitting your averages?
So like hitting your averages would mean like, okay, we track like everything in Cutco, like numbers galore, and could do more really. But so like we look at every show we work and we'll put like an average behind, okay, if I work a day, this is how much I expect to sell in a day. Being around that number like is a good show.
Let's walk through the hard numbers. Mm-hmm. How much did it cost to have a booth at Mule Day?
So Mule Day is nice. It's pretty inexpensive. So all in all, it cost me about $140, $150.
$150.
Yeah. Something like Shrimp Fest, you know, is going to be more expensive, like in the thousands.
Okay. So Mule Day, you go spend $150.
Yeah.
How much did you sell on Mule Day?
For Mule Day, I sell anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000. Is pretty normal.
That's a good day. That's a pretty good day. So let's go back to routine. So we know you have festivals. We know you have events. We know you're going to the mall and sell this. What does the perfect day look like for you? And let's timestamp that thing out. Business, personal, whatever. What does the perfect day look like for you?
Perfect day looks like for me. I mean, I personally hate getting up early, like the getting out of bed. I hate. But once I'm out of bed, I love it. But I just love feeling productive. And the only way to really be productive is start early, in my opinion. Anyways, getting up early, getting in the Word, just centering myself in what all this is about, outside of myself. The gym, to me, if I can accomplish something really hard the first thing in the morning, then I know whatever is coming is probably going to be hard too, and I just feel better about accomplishing it.
Plus, I think it also gets your brain... here's what I think. I think that when you sweat, when you strain, when you do something hard, your brain wakes up. Now, my brain wakes up after coffee and after reading and things like that, but my brain really wakes up when I sweat.
For sure.
So you leave the gym, then what?
For sure. So ideally, I have some sort of speaking event. So speaking events are with different industries that are going to give gifts from Cutco. Something like a real estate agent, a loan originator, loan officer, they give Cutco as gifts. So. Yep. I'll be speaking to people like them, or if I'm not doing that, following up with people that I've met at shows or referrals that I've had people give me, setting a next meeting.
Going back to the shows, how are you technically, skill technical, how are you capturing email addresses, telephone numbers, names when you go to Mule Day or wherever?
So the goal was to sell on the spot. So
you bring inventory to sell on the spot?
We ship everything.
Okay, so Susie comes up. She loves the Satuco knife or whatever. Yep. And you say, great, Susie, I'll have it to your house in a week.
Exactly.
Whatever. So you want to sell on the spot.
So we sell on the spot. And if, you know, obviously there's times when you people didn't make sense to sell on the spot, and that's fine. Totally cool. Then I have what I call a future customers list. And I'm like, hey, want to be on my future customers list if you want Cutco at some point, but not now. And they'll say, sure. Yeah, of course. And so I get all the information I need.
How do you get it? Is it easier or do they write it down?
So I have a Google form that I fill out, and I just say, what's your name? What's your
and
email?
You just do it
what's
right
zip
there.
Code? Yep, right there.
Perfect. Appointments throughout the day. Let's say you go throughout the day and you have 3 or 4 or 5 appointments. What does the rest of the day look like? The perfect
sure.
day.
I like to work. I don't mind working sure. past 5. Ideal day for me would be working a little past.
Yeah.
To me, I just like the feeling of getting stuff done. But I love hanging out with people too.
Yeah, sure.
And so ideal day for me is something with my family, something with That's my good. Friends at the end of the day. I have a long-distance girlfriend that
okay.
I enjoy talking on the phone to. And
good.
So that's a wonderful part of my day as well.
That's great. Where do the best leads come from right now?
Referrals are always going to be king. Referrals
so
are...
past customers.
Exactly, because they already know most of the time what you're looking for. So especially with my business leads, what I mean by business yeah. leads is... people or businesses that are giving the gift of Cutco to their clients or employees. So people already know the concept. They're like, hey, this person that owns this business might also like that. But besides that, people that I meet at events because yeah. they see the product, and most of the time I'm explaining it there. And for whatever reason, maybe there's another decision maker, or maybe there's multiple decision makers that need to see it. And so I'll set up a meeting with
right.
with more of them.
So I want to go back and touch on something. You talked about businesses giving gifts. And so our last meeting, we sat down and had lunch together. And at the end of by the end of that day, I had linked you with, I don't know, 4 or 5 people on text. Hey, Susie, this is Devin. You guys need to meet because he's got a product. That obviously helps.
Super appreciative of that.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, but one of the things we touched on last meeting is the book called Giftology. So there's a book called Giftology, and this is a really, really good book. I read it 4 or 5 years ago. I probably need to read it again. And the guy goes into the act of giving gifts through, in its essence, it's through business and why business owners, business executives, people give gifts, and what's the inverse reaction of the customer that gets given the gift. Mm-hmm. And there's a major difference in a $150, I'm just using a round number,
sure.
knife,
sure.
than a fruit basket
yeah.
that's going to go bad in 6 days,
right.
that you'll forget about it. But when they pick that knife up, you become top of mind.
For sure.
Tell me how that gift-giving space has helped you.
Oh, man. That honestly has transformed me, I'd say probably more than my business.
Yeah.
I'm not naturally a very gift-giving person.
Okay.
I'm not a giver, like, by nature.
Sure.
And I realized if I'm going to try to take my business here, I can't not be.
Sure.
And so, like, that totally transformed my set. A big concept of the book is people think about, what's the least I could do? Like, what's the most you could do? That... Yeah. is the concept of the book. What is the most you can do to make someone feel appreciated and loved?
Yeah.
Not for the purpose of transaction. The book talks about business flows more to people who are open-handed,
yeah.
but the point of appreciation is to appreciate, not to get business. But for me, it's totally just opened up me as a person. I love giving gifts now to where I really didn't before. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
That answered my question. Okay. So have you read the book Unreasonable Hospitality?
I have not. I've heard
you
of it.
You need to read that book.
Okay.
So Unreasonable Hospitality and Giftology need to be on every salesperson's desk at some point or another, or if you're in any kind of like service business, anything like that. Those are two wonderful, wonderful books.
Mm-hmm.
They go together, but they don't go together. So like they're not
sure.
talking through the same things,
sure.
but they're just wonderful books. So at some point, this business goes from, I want to pay for PT school
yep.
to, this is a full-fledged business. Tell me the aha moment when it went from extra cash to pay for school to, oh, I can make some money and this could be a living.
Second year of physical therapy school, I was, just going through and doing my thing. But there's kind of a rite of passage in Cutco, and it's like, once you've hit this like you're kind of more respected and you kind of know that you're growing a business. So that is selling $300,000 of Cutco in a year. And I did that in my second year of physical therapy school. And Cutco makes like a really big deal out of it. They give you a really awesome gift. I mean, it just opened my mind up to, okay, like I'm doing this, but I'm also doing this with like maybe a third of my day because...
Are you serious?
Right, because I mean, I'm in school from like...
So 30% of your day, you're selling knives.
Yeah.
And you brought in, you sold $300,000 of knives. And
right, that, with some weekends
too. Let's give it a little perspective. So for you, that's between... What's that income like? Give me a range. You got to tell me the figure. Give me a range. Sure.
Between...
$80,000 and $120,000
Sure.
In PT school.
Yeah.
Full time.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yep. Okay.
For sure.
That's pretty awesome. So you figured out, okay, I hit this 300K mark.
Right.
And then where did your mind go?
At that point, like, I have to develop systems, like, to do something like that.
You're just kind of winging it.
Right. Well, no.
You got a coach, though.
Before that, I'm just kind of winging it. But this year, like, you don't really go do that on accident. Like, you have to develop systems. You have to plan. You have to strategically plan. And so, especially if you have something that's taken up, like, a lot of your days, like it was for me. Like, I'm seeing the system and everything of how it's happening, and I'm seeing it happen with very little of my time. And so, I know that I have more time. And so, I know that if I apply the same systems... that it's only going to grow. So that's how I kind of realized that it's becoming a full-fledged business.
So we're going sales 101. So if you have a salesperson that you know and love, send them this portion of this podcast. Openers that actually work. What are your openers for in-person and then cold calls? So go in-person.
Awesome. So in person, most of the time I'm working at an event. Mm. And so I'm going to say something like pretty corny because like just getting people laughing is like a superpower.
Okay. I'm here. I'm walking up. I've got a 6-year-old's, 9-year-old's necklace that is worthless in my left hand. And my son has bought 4 fishing lures from the guy that's 4 booths down. And I'm walking by and I'm walking up and we make eye contact.
Hey guys, I don't know if they told you at the front, but we're cutting deals.
Nice.
Right.
And so you get someone to just interact with you.
Right, for sure. Because most people at these events, you're just another person. Like, they don't care, which I don't blame them. Like, you know, everybody's trying to talk to them.
Right.
But, like, something just kind of different, just to at least say, hey, I'm here.
Sure.
Like, I'm a human. I'm not just trying to, like, hey, come buy my thing. Come buy my thing. Anyways. Something just corny, something or how you doing? Oh, I'm cutting up a little bit today.
Nice.
Something just kind of make them chuckle.
Gotcha.
Is the goal.
Okay, warm referrals. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's just take, I'm going to use the fake name. So I sent you to John. I linked you guys on a text. You call John. You've already got the warm thing going. Y'all both know me. How does that call look?
I would say, hey, John, this is Thomas's friend, Devin. And I lead with this is so-and-so's friend because most of the time if people are answering the phone with a number they don't know, guard is going to be up.
Sure.
So name of the game for me is trying to take people's guard down like as soon as possible.
That's good.
And so mentioning the name just makes people feel a little more comfortable.
That's good.
Even if it's like a warm lead that someone hasn't texted, say you hadn't texted those people for me, if I say, hey, this is Thomas Cox's friend, Devin, did he tell you I was going to be calling or am I beating him to it? And if they said I'm beating him to it, I'm like, Thomas, seriously? Thomas didn't tell you? What are we going to do with him?
What are we going to do?
And I kind of joke with him a little bit.
Gotcha. That's so good. Where did you learn that?
Oh, good question. A lot of different places, I guess.
Yeah.
We have a lot of training within Cutco, a lot of training to get you from like nothing to just selling a little bit. And so I picked up a little bit there, but then even more from coaching. So people that I'm paying to coach me that have sold at a higher level that I'm at, that have more experience than me, and even some stuff personally just from people in different fields that I like Jeremy Miner. I don't know if you know who that is, but He's just a sales guy that just talks about tonality a lot, talks about...
I have seen
heard
him.
Of this guy? Cool.
I have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. He has very catchy-ish phrases on internet. He does a really good job with hooks on his like Instagram, YouTube videos and things like that. Okay,
yes, for sure.
So you brought up something two or three, a couple times. In sales, how important is training?
The most important thing. The product's great. Like for Cutco, the product's great. And
the product sells itself.
Right.
Nah, not really.
Right, sure. You could have no training and sell a little bit of Cutco. People most of the time will buy something if they like it and like you.
Sure.
But to sell a lot of Cutco, you're going
to
need
to sell a lot of anything, though.
Sure, sell a lot of anything.
To sell a lot of anything, you got to have some coaching and some training. Okay.
For sure.
So talk about the coaching. Like Blake Schultz was on here. He's a killer real estate agent, a wonderful human being. He's got coaching. A lot of these guys that come on here and girls, they've hired a coach.
Mm-hmm.
What difference did a coach make in your business?
All the difference. Because there's one thing to say, hey, this is a script. Learn this script and read it. Like recite it to people.
Right.
It's another thing to say, hey, it doesn't always go this way. And I know because I've been doing this for 5 years and I've heard 5,000 different things. So let me teach you like what actually happens. And so for me, I was really just most of the time reciting things to people and trying to like follow the script. And it wasn't very conversational and it didn't work very well for me, obviously for, you know, all the reasons. But when I got a coach, I learned to talk to people. How to like make people feel like comfortable talking to you because sales is very, people are very just shy.
Sure.
You know, if sales, nobody wants to be sold to. Yeah. Everybody loves to buy. Everybody loves to spend money.
That's good.
But nobody really wants to be sold to. So how do you make someone feel comfortable with also like explaining the nature of your product? Mm-hmm. So a coach helped me a lot in that sense. Also just systems and with like how to manage like all the different layers of a business and like talking to business owners. Like that's not something that Cutco necessarily trains you on, but like the coach, absolutely. Because that's what my coach that I pay also specializes in is working with businesses.